listening to the Confessions of a Clairvoyant Housewife podcast. From marriage to menopause and margaritas, nothing is off the table. This is Cindy Goldenberg.
Hi, everyone. It's so good to connect with you again. Here it is, February 2021. Oh my God, how time flies. I cannot believe it's been an entire year that I've been doing this podcast. I am so grateful for all of you who have supported me and shared me with your friends and all of your feedback. I am so grateful. Please just know that I feel your gratitude and it inspires me to keep on talking. And it's hard to believe that we have all endured such a difficult time and a challenge during this COVID and quarantine and isolation and a whole new way of living, which isn't normal, or it certainly isn't normal for me. So on one hand, we can always find the blessings in each day. We can always make ourselves grateful. So today I really wanted to tell you specific techniques. Why? Because everywhere I go, like the other day I was at the physical therapist, and while she was working on my hip, I looked up at her and I said, "Do you realize you have a bright yellow aura?" And within minutes, the whole office came around to find out who they are and what that means. And I enjoy doing that because it's about sharing who you really are and your truth and your personality method and how you present yourself in the world. And it brings me great joy to mirror someone and tell them who they really are and who they're really meant to be. Why? Because it promotes self-acceptance. But nowadays, with this change in politics, this change in living, this change of being isolated, this change of being angry, separated, bitter, victim, perpetrated, conflict, it's enough. It's time to stop. It's always been there. But like expected, it's coming to the front. What am I talking about? I have said for years, as a lot of spiritual texts have as well, that we are coming into a Christ consciousness. Christ meaning Christos, the ancient Greek word of divine intelligence. Also construed as Jesus the Christ, also the Christ mind, universal love, the divine light, the divine fire, the purple crown chakra. There are so many synonyms for this. Like I've explained before, the violet light that I see that blankets the earth, and I see it better when I'm meditative with my eyes closed, or when I listen to music, or when I'm doing a talk and I close my eyes, or I open my eyes and the room will be full, or there's violet light around you because I'm intending to connect to your higher source, or I'm just driving, listening to tunes at night on a really dark road and the headlights cast light against the black, inky road and the bright electric violet light is blanketing the earth. This is speed of light. Violet is the speed of light, the fastest speed of light. What does this mean? It means that we are in this earth continuum, time and space, where everything is being blanketed with transmutation, Christ consciousness, higher power, love. But the speed of light, the violet, is pulling out and extracting anything that isn't effective or working. And it's transmuting it. It's changing it. We're in the spin cycle of life. We're in the washer spin cycle where everything has to go very, very quickly and be thrown off. So anything that isn't for your highest good or collective highest good, not through right or wrong or through any kind of an intention or identification of judgment, which means condition, it just isn't working. But in order for it to be removed, it never goes away. Energy never goes away, but it must be pulled out in order to be, quote, electrified or sunshine or focused upon or transmuted to change. Energy never goes away. It only changes. So negative energy is coming up in order to change. Do we have to do it? Nope. Are we witnessing it? Yep. Are we part of it? Yes. Are we responsible for it? No. But what are we responsible for? We are responsible for how we want to feel, how we want to live, what we want to react to, what we want to put into, what we want to create and attract, and who we are. Oh, well, that sounds simple. No, it really isn't. That's why we're here. So when I say a topic like, it's easier to fart out loud than admit your mistakes. Yeah, I'm being funny. Yeah, I'm trying to be a sense of humor, like having a margarita with you and laughing. And I was going to say, let's see, it's easier to kind of poop your pants a little bit when you think it's just a fart. Or you go to bed and you have to wear a paper diaper once in a while because you're just in that menopausal hormonal stage where things happen and the foods you eat don't get digested like they used to. Well, just like our bodies, the world is changing. It adjusts and it's transmuting and pulling out negativity. I'm not going to go into politics. I'm not going to go into world COVID. I'm not going to go into any kind of prophecy or anything like that. I want to keep it simple. I want you to understand your participation, but I want you to ingest, know, and anchor that the universe supports you. It's here for you and because of you, and you are part of all that is. You are part of this greater power of God, love, Christ consciousness, co-creation. Your will is, quote, His will, is God's will. You do not need to believe in order to have this connection. You do not need to understand a religion to have this connection. You are already connected, but you are here living a life that is opposite of that. And to remember that you are connected is the only prerequisite to attain that knowledge. Through practice and selective thinking and awareness, not mastering it, not owning it, not stepping into that power and saying, look at me, I'm a Jesus Christ lover, amen. By simple awareness, just like when you step outside and you are mindful that you are breathing the air, that like where I live, there is a lake, there are birds, there are ducks, there's grass, there's trees, there's a breeze, there's a fir tree, there's a palm tree. None of those things were threatening. I don't have to dwell on it all day. I can talk about other words. I can go watch Netflix. I can go for a swim. I can go to the beach. But I know those things were there and I acknowledged it. All I can say is right now, you have the power to create, attract, and enjoy the life you want and that you solely deserve. Oh, yeah, I've read all those books. I know how to do that. Okay, good. But in the scheme of things of what I just told you, this world is changing rapidly. We're in a high spin frequency of transmutation. A lot of negativity personally, collectively, in soul groups and families, in nationalities, countries, things are coming up. Why? To see if we want to keep it. At the same time, a lot is out of our control, but what we can control is our observation, our willingness to trust, our willingness to even be in fear. I am not asking you to replace one emotion for another. I am not telling you there is a right or wrong. I am not telling you one is better than the other. I am only taking a few select intentions, emotions, and experiences of my own, and plus years of teaching and years of so many books I can't, including the Bible, including Course in Miracles, including spiritual ancient texts, including, oh God, Catherine Ponder, Marianne Williamson, Deepak Chopra, you know, Norman Vincent Peale from the 50s of positive thing, everything, Judaism, Buddhism, Christianity, karma, auras, Pleiadian, Syrian. There's too many to mention. Anyway, I like things quick and brief and on a cocktail napkin myself, so I can carry it and make it simple and digest it and practice it. So it's time that you have that heart-to-heart talk with yourself. And it's time to ask, WTF, what the frick am I doing? And why? Why? Because it's a metaphysical perspective of self-sabotage. It's a metaphysical perspective of how to attract abundance. It's a It's a metaphysical perspective of how I work. So, number one thing to invite in your life, the number one idea and concept that is the ticket to the big cash prize on Price is Right to the nth degree, to the world cruise to the nth degree, to the multimillionaire abundance, security, financial freedom to the nth degree, to the loving, healthy relationships with the people that you love, to the front row of your favorite musical. Fill in the blanks. Life is beautiful. But the number one concept, principle, and word that you must incorporate, honor, and accept is peace. Peace. Peace out, folks. 70s, the peace sign. Oh, all I want is some peace. Give me some space so I can have some peace. I am a peaceful person, God damn it. Yeah. I mean, we all hear it and go, yeah, oh God, really? You're making me say this? Yeah, I am. Why? Because I'm just saving you years and books and everything else. But we have to define peace. And peace is not the absence of conflict, not the absence of war. And you can look up all these things and, you know, everybody can find all this on social media. Peace is this or not that, or it means love or not war. I'm talking about the talk between you and you. Because you have a higher self. You have an eternal soul. You and God, he, she, are one. When you are talking to your honest higher self, you are talking to the part that already knows that you are pure love. And I've said this before and I'll say it again. I've done a million gajillion readings, and I don't mean just readings face to face. I mean just tuning into people, even if I see their name or think of them or don't even know them. And no two individuals love. I'm not talking express their love. I'm talking about the quantitative molecular vibration of love of who we really are. No two are alike. No two souls are alike. No two individuals dead or alive in this time and space or in a million other universe light years away. No two are alike, like snowflakes and thumbprints. It is infinite. Wrap your mind around that. That's a lot of love. You cannot run out of love. That part of you that is divine and intelligent and loving already knows this. So the part of you that doesn't, all we need to do is make room to invite the intelligence to come in by continuing patterns and beliefs and behaviors and actions and thoughts or even avoidance so we can make a little more room. So that's where the inner work comes. And it's not hard. You can do it while you're driving and chewing gum. But it works. And in fact, it's always worked. You're not doing it right now. You just don't know that you are responsible for the consequence and that you can change the direction at any time. So here are three principles. I tried to make things where you can follow it. And by the way, I'm going to put all this into a class format. I'm going to put this into black and white downloads, and I'm going to record myself saying this on a video and make it a very reasonable cost so you can understand these concepts and have some classes on identifying how your mind works and how to clear and make room for abundance, intuition, connection with loved ones, feeling positive about yourself or your health or energy. It's all the same concepts that take you to those outcomes. What I'm telling you now, it's the same way. So when you have this conversation and you find out what you're doing and why, the number one thing you're going to do is decide. The number two thing you're going to do is detach. And the number three thing you're going to do is determine and put focus and determination into what you've discovered. So let's look at the first thing. When you decide to receive, you must make room and clear what doesn't work for you. Now, in another talk, I'm going to go into great detail on why you're angry, what it is that you believe that you need to be. But right now, if you can just decide to make the decision that I am willing to receive peace in my life, I am willing to clear and make room of anything or anyone who will disrupt this peace. That's a good intention. Now, how is that going to manifest? Well, now you have certain things that come up in your life, and you find that your habits of being, let's say, a codependent, which I've always said, and I'll say again, isn't a bad word. It's a definition of surviving as a child, as a young person, even a young adult, to become the adult, to become the parent, to become the reasonable, accountable one, to make sure that you are in control. In my case, one of my triggers that I discovered was the loss of a dog that I had at 10 years old after a gunfight, a drunken brawl between my parents, not fighting with each other, but my grandmother, my mom's mom, with guns and abuse and threats of property, me, the home. And my dad said, "We're done. We're going to Washington State from Southern California," packed up the car, spent a night in jail. Yeah, fill in the blanks. The cops came and everything else. But he said, "We're done. We're out of money." My grandmother took over the home. She packed a gun. That's another story. She comes from whatever, the Oklahoma days where you had to carry it. She liked having a gun because she had a business in a unsavory neighborhood. Instead of selling the business, she liked carrying a gun and being pushed. That's another story. My point is, I was a young girl. I was uprooted instantly. I don't have any ill will. I've done so much forgiveness. This is just an antidote to give you some personal insight of myself and how my mind works. I have forgiven and I love my parents very much. They've been dead 10 and 15 years. I talk to them. I miss them. I love them. I've seen them in different ways. I've connected with them. But this is my story. At the time, to get in a car with my beautiful dog that I've had since I was in a crib. He was old. He was 10. He had tumors on his belly. But he was my dog, and at that age, I did not know. And as we drove further and further away, into the dark, into the bleak, into the cheap motels, into the eating in the back seat, petting my dog, and going into a dark, cold, rainy area, staying with a friend of my father's. He was a construction worker, looking for a home eventually that we're going to live this lifestyle, being numb and in pain to everything that happened and shutting down. As we finally reached this rural, farmland, rainy, depressing, oppressive, impoverished area up in the Northwest, the rain was pouring down. My dad had to get gas. He opened up the door and the dog jumped out. He ran after him. He came back in soaking wet and he goes, "He'll find us." And we drove away. And I was numb. My dog, my life, my baby. Now, I just lost a dog after 11 years, just a few months ago. He's still in my heart. We are so close to our pets. They are our angels. They are our children. And they are our gifts. But I was a child. But at that moment, I realized in therapy, I made a commitment. Quietly, in my mind and in my subconscious, that I will never be out of control again. So damn straight, I'm a codependent. Damn straight, I need to be in control of a lot of things. Damn straight, it made me a wonderful pioneer, a woman, an advocate, a successor, a victor. I got a lot of gold medals I can share with you. It also made me ignore other parts of myself. It also made me ignore other perspectives with relationships with my own children, with my own husband, and with my family. Nothing negative, just not useful for me anymore. I'm not in the back seat. I don't feel out of control, but I have an imprinted neural pathway of 50-something years of saying this works. But now I am acknowledging it or seeing it or reading Codependent No More by Marion Beatty and realizing that we all are to a certain degree. But how does it manifest now? Well, very subtle. I mean, really, to have kids and go to soccer games and make lunches and do everything that you got to do, who the hell isn't a freaking codependent? You got to put yourself last. I'd laugh years ago when Dr. Phil started and he says, take a bath. You take a fucking hot bath. I got things to do. I have no way of accomplishing one-tenth of what I need to do. And don't get me and started on my fat ass and triple bellies and 5 miscarriages and no time to eat or sleep for 5 years and a heavy body and everybody else should be thin and I should have white teeth and perky boobs and everything else. Fuck you. Double fuck you. This is me. This is who I am. So all through the years, even with spirituality and teaching all these things, I've had to deal with the things that I'm sharing with you on my own, in my own quiet time. And it finally, in these past few years, has come down to quiet, safe, loving, gentle invitation. What are my urges? How do I feel? not in my head. If someone says something about me, you're right, I could have done it better. You're right, I need to help. Yes, you're right, I could help this person. What's wrong with that? That's noble, that's Christian, that's Jewish, that's Buddhist, that's humanitarian. Nope, not for me. To act on that urge is ineffective because with that urge is disappointment. I get involved. I get my heart broken. But I understand you're an alcoholic and I know why and I know what your parents did to you and I know why and I can help you because I'm the daughter of an alcoholic and I know why and I can do this and I know why and this is this and I know why and I see auras and I know why. Step back, Cindy. It's not your responsibility. But I'm so good at it. I'm tall. I can reach cereal for an old lady in the grocery aisle. Just because you can reach it, it doesn't mean this is meant for you to do. What do you mean by that? God and angels, what the fuck do you mean by that? It's not your responsibility anymore. It's not your job. You've done it. We thank you. You can go now. Well, where the hell am I supposed to go? You're supposed to go out of this reality of being available to mediate. Why? Because you don't want to create conflict. Why? Because you love so deeply. Why? Because you need to be loved in order to feel valued. Why? Because it feels good. So then in the journaling, while I ask, what is it and what is my urge and why do I automatically turn into a 5-year-old that it must be my fault or that I could make things better? So now I now see that by staying in this driving lane, I am attracting people directly, indirectly, personally, not personally, not all the time, but people who take advantage of my, I'll take the high road and be quiet, take advantage of my kindness, take advantage of whatever. And even if it only happens once or twice, but in the past few years, I've seen this consistent pattern with every best friend I've ever had, but it is my assignment. The universe, God, angels, whatever, has made it very clear because I made the decision to receive and to clean and make room and let go and purify. But what am I really purifying? I'm willing to release the need to love and rescue and mediate and comfort other people. You, God, do it better than I do. But it is now time for me to be available for myself and available to you. It doesn't mean I don't love and care for everybody in a very deep way, but I now see I can love someone and not their choices. I can love someone and not their behavior and even be married to them. I can love someone, but not have to consciously, quote, put up with it. There doesn't have to be a fight, but there's an exit. There's a door. There's a come over here. We got a 5-star dining experience for you. Walk away. And that is new to me. That is new to me. And the other little things that have crept up in my life to show me that I'll be okay are living with my daughter and seeing her nearby and now with COVID and not being able to travel and not seeing her for a year and other things, I'm okay. Sure, I miss her. Sure, you miss the people that you love, but you're okay. You're okay. The other thing is that as we get older and as we have in-laws or as we have people in our life and they bring in confrontation and we know what they're going to say and they're going to yell and they're going to make us feel bad and we have to be there because of the elderly person or because of whatever legalities there are and siblings and everything else. And oh my God, this causes nausea. And I just want to say, fuck you, go away. And it causes nausea. And I just, oh, I wanted to go away. Please go away. Please. I don't want to do this anymore. I love you, God. I love, love, love. I chant. I do all this stuff. Not good enough. What do I have to do? You have to say, you know what? Peace out. I'm not available for this. However that lands, the intention is, hello, I am not available for this. Just like leaving a message on a phone at a doctor's office after 5, they are not available. They'll get back to you, but in this moment, they're not available. I am not available to you for this. I'll be available for that. I'll be available to love and joy and everything else. But if you want to bring this in, if you want to point the finger at me that I am not spending correctly, or I am not doing something correctly, or I didn't follow an attorney plan or something, I'm not available for this. Hello? I'm not available for this. So do you see how I must do inventory? And on one hand, if I want to be available to say, oh, you have a beautiful aura while I'm standing next to you, am I always available to that person at any time without setting an appointment or without making it a business or whatever else, just because I can do it? Yeah, but so-and-so died. Yeah, but they are in pain. Yeah, but they have cancer. Yeah, but they, hey, I've had all that. I have to pay for it. We have to have this quiet conversation with ourselves and go, what are we doing and why? So in order to receive, we must clear and make room with that which no longer works for us. So if you are being in avoidance, if you are in a constant state of conflict and combative, and hey, you didn't call me. Hey, you need to be here. Hey, I have an opinion. Hey, I'm fucking pissed. Hey, what about me? And I'm the victim, and I'm the one, and I'm this, and I'm that. Then you're on the opposite coin of where I'm at. You have to look at and go, why am I so angry? And now you know what? Your answer is going to be the same. Because you don't feel loved and valued. Because you're used to getting loved and valued through certain things. Because like me, I am comfortable with saving, soothing, nurturing, mediating, calming, putting out fires. The same thing is you are comfortable with conflict and pain and adrenaline. Fucking A, man, shit, man, you hit yourself or something and you can get in the fight. You go out and work out and ooh, if we get in that pain gain, ooh, we can really move. But conflict isn't just physical. Yes, it destroys your adrenals. Stress destroys your adrenals, your hormones, your body, your health. Protecting yourself and avoiding destroys your adrenals. So any kind of conflict, be it I want to mediate and I want to be calm, I want to go away, I want to dunk under the covers, I'd want to avoid this, to hey, you, fuck you, come here. It's the same part of the coin. Do you want to continue this? You must ask yourself. And the way that your higher guide, your higher self, your higher beings will answer you lovingly is to, number one, always remember, don't guilt yourself. There's no guilt. Nobody's guilting you but you. There is no fucking thing as guilt. Oh, yes, there is. I feel guilt and shame because you thought you had to. Because you thought you did. Because we do. Because it has a neurotransmitter and you're familiar with it. Because you're used to being shamed. Because your father was shamed and your mother was shamed. And this society is shamed. Okay, we get it. We're used to driving on the right side. Move to England and you're not. It's not good or bad. It's just different. You must identify exactly and be specific in what you're purifying. You must understand it in yourself. And you must do it without judgment. You must say, thank you. I see this discovery. I see this pattern. If this pattern is no longer good for me, I'm willing to release it. That was my other previous podcast or two, go back, get that in your mind, but be specific in how you purify. So when you make the decision, yeah, I'm ready to receive. I want the new car, the girlfriend, the boyfriend, the good life. You've got to not just look around and clean your house and pick up things off the floor and create good feng shui energy for things to land. You must clear your mind. You must clear the cobwebs of the corner of your soul. And the good news is it's easy. It's easy when you decided to make it that way. And you make it that way. And again, I'm going to go into more specific tools in my class situation, candles, meditation, music, things to elevate your frequency in your mind so you can receive very succinct inner voice direction. But your decision to receive will, I promise you, guide you instantly. The next thing you're going to do is detach. So detach means I'm going to let go. I'm willing to release the need to hold on. I am going to let this shit go. I surrender to you, God. Pick a phrase, pick whatever works for you. But detachment means I'm not in the way, I'm not in control. I made a choice to be in control when my dog got out of the back seat and I couldn't cry and I was in shock. And it made me the better person for my whole life to be responsible up to not only my parents' death, but their burial. I paid for everything. I was responsible my whole life. I am not belittling that. I am proud of that. I am proud of being that codependent. But when I see it in my own marriage and I read in a book that there are patterns that many codependents have where, why don't you take my advice? I love you so deeply. Why can't you see it, motherfucker? Why is it that I, and I go, oh my God, that's me. So in order for me to get healthy, I have to admit this is the only language I know and I have to change it. And I do it by detaching and observing myself. Or observing my past. And again, by asking your God, angels, guides, by writing, by sitting quietly, by saying, what is it that I can let go of? Why am I so angry? Why am I so scared? You will get such beautiful, loving answers wrapped in flowers and roses and gifts. And it will be like, because you don't know any better, my darling, my sweet angel, my child. You don't know that this was really because of this and this. You will feel the epiphany before you will read the words. I promise you. And then with this information, you can go on to the next one, which is to be determined to use practical tools that make you accountable. Let's just say it right now, every day. It is safe for me to be accountable. It is easy for me to be accountable. It is rewarding for me to be accountable. It is empowering for me to be accountable. It is kick-ass, glorious, successful, abundant, divine, rich goodness for me to be accountable. It is easy for me to be accountable. It is easy for me to step into my power. It is easy for me to adult. It is easy for me to forgive my confusion to think that I had to be any other way. It is easy for me to forgive you to think I had to think of you any other way. It is easy for me to forgive you, although you have been the biggest pain and hurtful pain in the ass and hurtful son of a bitch in my life. The part of you that God made that's like that little dog, I send love and light to, but I forgive myself for thinking I had to deal with you. There are so many words of distinction that can make this determination and your accountability shine. And when you do this, this is what's happening. You are teaching your brain to see and know and relate and expect. Expect. What? I don't know. Goodness. Miracles. Unexpected joy. But what if everything goes fucked up? What if everybody starts name-calling you? What if you're now being targeted for a lawsuit? What if you're being targeted for not being a good friend or a good relative or whatever? What if you're in fight? What if you're in conflict? What if it's politics? What if it's legal inheritance and anything else? I didn't say this was going to be easy, but I did say it's going to be clear. The clarity is get out, look for the exit. This isn't your fight. Forgive yourself for thinking it was. And go back to my opening statement. Recognize that there is a constant flow of divine perfection. That tree, you can burn it to the ground and some little micro, nano, teeny speck of that seed can go in the ground and it knows how to grow. You're not going to make that tree a tree. It already knows. You must get out in nature or do something out of your mind, out of your logical mind, your controlling mind, to look and see at the divine perfection of beauty, of even if there's trash on the road, there's a flower. You have to find something that reminds you that innate intelligence in all things exists, that there is love, regardless of whether you're feeling it right now or receiving it right now, that there is balance, regardless of the injustice and the pain and the hurt, regardless of feeling victimized, and know that, again, my whole life, take the high road. Your sibling is XYZ. I didn't know what it was like to be told, oh, good job. Instead, I had a sibling that was like, didn't say what the fuck, but basically made me feel like, well, how fucking special do you think you are? And I'll have cornflakes for breakfast. So sometimes it takes a lifetime to know, well, I didn't do anything wrong. It's just I don't know any better. So again, in that inner work and through the years, when you ask and I've been dialoguing and finding out what is it that I can do to look at things differently, I got instant epiphanies. But boy, I thought, I'm going to be honest, I thought, I'd say 18 years ago, I had this button down. Nobody's better at it than me. I'm good to go. You know, I get it. I forgave. I'm really a good instrument to teach this. I'm ready to go. And then the rug got pulled out of my under my feet, and I had to go into graduate PhD self-reflection and ask myself, what the fuck is going on? In a loving way. And I got heard. But I got it through pain and heartache. Like, I don't deserve this. And it wasn't victim, but I get it now. So this is a time. This is another thing I want to tell you, not just with the violet aura on the ground, but this time, this 2021, this after 2012, this after COVID, the quarantine, whatever challenge, whatever wars, conflict, politics, all of the above, those are content and or excuses and or stories. And when I say excuses, I don't mean excuses like they're not real and they're not valid and they don't need attention. I didn't say that. What I'm saying is they are side notes. They are reflections. They are not your true inner reality. Your true inner reality is love. Your true reality is a flow. But like I said, no two people love alike. So now in this earth dimension, no two people are two yellows or adventurous, or a lot of people are attracted to drama. We all are. We're human beings. We're on the earth plane. We're here to experience that which we're not. But generally speaking, in this violet drenched time of this time and space, this is the time to let go of guilt. This is the time to let go of control. This is the time to let go of shame. Forget about everyone else. Put yourself first. Not in a selfish way, but in a child. Invite the child. Why are you mad? Why are you mad, little Cindy? Why are you hurt? Why are you frustrated? Why do you not feel like you're being heard? And then you will feel these feelings, and they will make you nauseous and diarrhea and cry, and you'll do everything to get rid of them. And you'll go drink, and you'll do this, or you'll exercise, or you'll scream, or you won't even know why. It'll be complex post-trauma. You don't even know why. It's just in there, and I'm like, ugh. But I guarantee you, if you invite it, you don't need to identify it even. Just invite it and know it's not going to last long. It's okay to sit in that uncomfortable space for a day or two or even a week. I guarantee it'll go away. Not everybody is stiff upper lip and carry on and be calm. Oh, I hate that shit. I am a very resilient, gregarious, tough, I don't know, what words would I describe myself? You know, controlling, abrasive, but good, and a good heart. But I am sensitive. Not sensitive boo-hoo in my head. I mean, I am sensitive. I am like light-skinned, Irish descent, English descent, sunscreen-needing, delicate. My aura and my energy and my quiet conversation of me with me in the middle of the night is this is also unnecessary. I wish there wasn't any conflict. So my true nature, I don't know how that nature arrived in this body and is trying to walk the earth plane when there is always conflict. But ask me how quickly I can step out of it. Within seconds, I can trans out on a walk and look at a tree and I see light and I see birds or whatever. Within seconds, it dissipates. I don't dwell in it. My body's been trained to just check it, deflect it. So when you decide to fully let go, and you let go of guilt, and you let go of control. Control means control of the outcome. I want this exactly like this. It's not saying I would like to experience this. And you can put pictures and vision and manifesting is real. But what it is for the highest good. I expect good things. And you must say it. And then while you're saying it and you're feeling it, you can't walk around and bitch about the daily news that something ain't going your way or the way you thought it was. Turn it the fuck off. Look for the exit. Your guides and loved ones will show you the door. Look for the exit. I'm not available for this. I'm not available for this. So when you decide to fully let go, including forgiving yourself and others, and remember, forgiving does not mean condoning any act. It means to forgive yourself for thinking you had to carry this burden alone. Forgive yourself for thinking you were anything other than great. Forgive yourself for thinking that you had to put yourself down in any way. And I forgive you for the same. And I forgive you the part that God made and do an imprint of a dog, a sunset, a sunrise, a rose. And the rest of you is none of my responsibility and I'm not available for this. What does those groups of words mean? It means I'm creating the intention to give love but not be available for anything else. To make a linear, concrete boundary. So when you do this, this is what happens. You're no longer available for others' opinions. They'll have them, but you won't feel them. Something happens and you don't care. Or you do care, but it doesn't bother you as long as it used to. Because you don't feel the need to defend, or you don't feel you can see light, you can breathe. And these are the things, too, that make you more intuitive. You'll start to see things and light glow off of trees or people or animals or your own hand or your energy in your head, you'll start to feel elevated. You'll feel molecular pressures in your body move. We're not just this body and our brain and our decision and our paper. We are part of this collective breeze, this flow of rich abundance that we call peace. So you will no longer be available for other people's opinions or their acts or their behaviors or their peer pressure. It just somehow shifts and life goes on without you. You're not so involved. Or if you are, it will be very obvious that you will constantly be miserable. Not to punish you, but because you're not listening to your divine neighborhood. You're not allowing this invitation to let them help you and guide you in a different direction, because the universe is waiting. It's for you and because of you. Remember, it's all for you. So when you do all this, you will put yourself in anticipation. And what will happen is clarity. People will bother you or support you. Like I said, you'll be uncomfortable, nausea, you'll have situations, and you'll realize I'm uncomfortable because I really haven't decided to really say, I love you, but I'm not available for this. I love you, Dad, but I'm not available for this. You can time travel. You can do this with someone, whether they're dead or alive. But when you create the intention with specific examples, you move to the head of the class more quickly. And it doesn't mean that you're better or more intuitive. It just means you're more clear and you're more open and you're more ready and anticipatory and excited and calm. The other great thing that happens, chaos. Chaos and conflict and fuck yous cannot coexist with peace. The chaos dissipates. It goes away. Where to go? I don't know. I don't really care. I mean, I know it's there. It used to be there. I used to enjoy it, but now it's not there. And if you're not fully aware at this point, then the people and the events that are necessary for your fulfillment are attracted in your life right now for you to get it. So you either attract the people and the events necessary for your fulfillment in a good way, or you're going to attract the people in your life to remind you, excuse me, what's your intention? What was your deliberate decision? What do you want to detach from? What are you determined? It's a little fuzzy. If you bring it in a little more clarity, like the telescope to look up at Jupiter and Saturn, and you look and twist this a little bit, and you're not afraid to say, I don't want this. This is my boundary. I'm more clear in saying what I want. I'm making this decision to clear so I can receive. So the people and events you will attract for your fulfillment, and fulfillment can go either way. It can show you, get a little louder, get a little more specific, get a little bit more definite, not combative, definite for yourself. Or guess what? Here's the washer dryer, the world trip, the health, the ease, the comfort. Keep going. So the choice is yours to have this intimate conversation. The choice is yours to understand you have such an exuding, powerful, magnetic force around you because it is you. You have the force and the power and the choice to create and attract and enjoy the life you want and deserve through one step, one intention, one awareness. Peace. Peace be with you. You got this. I have faith. Thanks again. I'll talk to you next time.
You have been listening to the Confessions of a Clairvoyant Housewife podcast with intuitive expert Cindy Goldenberg. To learn more or stay connected, be sure to visit www.cindygoldenberg.com.